Yeah, you're tuned into The Pulse, bringing the latest in the music world and fresh new music. My name is Auf Nitting, together with Ali Joe. And right now, it's a segment that we like to call...
By the way, Rage Against the Machine are back in the charts amidst the social unrest that's going on in the States currently in the last couple of weeks. The band's debut album, actually, self-titled Rage Against the Machine, has made its way back into the Billboard 200, coming in at number 174. And I think when it first came out in 1994, it peaked at number 45 on the Billboard 200s. And reports are saying that this comeback into the charts is partially due to the fact that one of the tracks on the record, the anthemic Killing in the Name, which, you know, has specifically been written about protesting police brutality following the 1992 Los Angeles riots. This is why, you know, people are listening to Rage Again. And not just the billboards, they've also, the album climbed onto number 8 on the iTunes top albums charts this week as well, followed by Rage's two other albums, Evil Empire and The Battle of Los Angeles, respectively. So it's weird times. Every time there's social unrest, every time it's like, you know, coming up to an election year in America, Rage Against the Machine makes a comeback in more than one way.
Yeah.
One thing that they're active and playing again, but also creating ripples in systems, you know, which is great.
Yeah, and I think this is not the first time that it happened. If I'm not mistaken, there was this Christmas charts thing where every year Simon Cowell's X Factor artist would always famously get number one.
Yeah.
But I think there were a few Rage fans that got together to say, let's make Rage Against the Machine number one, and they did it, right?
They did it. That was like about 10 years ago. And Rage Against the Machine were set to reunite for a world tour in 2020, but, you know, plans for touring have obviously been derailed due to the coronavirus. But it's great to see that their music is back in the charts. That means, you know, a lot more people are listening to them.
That's right. So from Rage Against the Machine, we head over to BTS. Now, K-pop mega superstars, BTS, have claimed that they have opened up a new era for virtual shows with their pay-per-view Bang Bang Con, the live event that happened last Sunday. The numbers do the talking here, as they made up to an estimate of close to $20 million from that one pay-per-view concert alone. Despite critics saying that online concerts wouldn't bring in as much cash as traditional ones, I guess BTS really proved everybody wrong.
Yeah, and I wonder how many Malaysians were tuning in to this
probably
live
a
concert.
Lot.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the virtual concert attracted up to 750,000 plus viewers. Oof. From 107 regions, and broke the record for the largest ever virtual concert audience in the meantime. Big Hit Entertainment, the company in charge of BTS, also said that the audience size from that one online show was an equivalent of 15 shows at a 50,000 capacity stadium.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we all know the reach and the fan base of a group like BTS.
They're known as the ARMY.
And with a name like that, you know, with really loyal fans, during the lockdown and, you know, in this pandemic, many of us are really, really excited to, or like...
longing for...
Yeah, we're really longing for live concerts. And what better way to spend an afternoon on a Sunday to watch one of your favorite artists, right? BTS probably made half the world tune into their concert.
Yeah, and it was very interesting because the 100-minute-long online event was performed across 5 rooms, 2 stages, each stylized in different moods. And they also have multi-view live streaming where the viewers themselves can choose their favorite angles and different screens to watch simultaneously.
Super pro.
Yeah. So speaking of online concerts, the next wave of virtual concerts is here, and it's called Avatar Based Concerts. To be honest, I've never heard of this company before called Wave, but if you're just like me and just finding out about this company, it's a thing called Avatar Concert. What will happen is the performers, just in like BTS, in the case of BTS, you are actually seeing the members, but in the case of an Avatar virtual concert, you are only hearing the voices of your favorite musicians and artists, but you are actually looking at their avatar. In this Avatar concert startup called Wave, they've just announced a $30 million funding with participation from big names like Scooter Braun, you know, famously managed Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber and stuff. Ex-Yankee ballplayer Alex Rodriguez, Twitch co-founder Kevin Lin and more.
Wow.
So how it happens is it uses motion capturing to capture the movements of the performers in real life to affect the movements of the avatar within the concert. So it's basically like being in a game and watching a concert, but you get to choose your angles, vote on the background and more. So, I mean, previously we have talked a lot about how people wouldn't like virtual and online concerts because you won't get the same experience, but they are proving us wrong that actually with online concerts, there are actually a lot of different plus points that you can do. You can choose your own angles. You can, I'm sure down in the future, you can choose your own mix of whether you want the guitars to be higher or lower.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought of that. But, you know, this seems to me like we're moving ahead, forward from, you know, we've had like Zoom meetings with personalized backgrounds of like people being by the beach la, on mountains and all that. But this is, you know, you can curate your own view to this concert and you can even pick some selected cams to follow a specific member. That's already, you know, being done in sports, in football, in American football, things like that. And they've just taken up to a level that you can do it in a concert.
At first, I didn't really see the value in this kind of concerts because it just feels like you're watching a concert in a game.
Yeah.
But I was proven wrong recently. Fortnite, the game Fortnite, held a concert with Travis Scott and that attracted millions of viewers. But since this one is motion capturing, I guess it will only be entertaining for certain performances that uses a lot of motion. You can't just sit there on a chair and play guitar. So you have to like really play the drums with your arms like swinging all around.
Mm-hmm. And Travis Scott really... that Travis Scott Fortnite concert also sort of blew my mind. I just saw it earlier today. Austin showed it to me. And, you know, I mean, I've never obviously been to a Travis Scott concert, but people who attended were also in the game. They were dancing to his tunes and he's one of the characters in the game. That blew my mind, you know, because, you know, it's great if you are both a Travis Scott fan and a Fortnite player.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and by the way, last week this happened in music news. Facebook's blanket ban on skinhead subculture. I thought this was really quite peculiar, but we're going to keep it quick with this one. As protests and social unrest grew in the States, Facebook decided to pull the plug on many skinhead subculture fan pages, and they even went down to granular, temporarily suspending some personal profiles of people that they figured to subscribe to or the followers of skinhead subculture. And this is actually, I mean, in line with Facebook's pledge to ban support of white nationalism from their site. And from they've started doing this since March of 2019. But the problem here is they don't know what they were doing. So in a move to cancel racism and white supremacy from the platform, they had assumed anybody and everybody who is affiliated with the subculture as people who subscribe to that mentality, when the truth is quite the opposite, because, you know, throughout history, skinhead subculture was among the earliest movements in Britain to unite the blacks and whites, you know, with reggae music being the glue. So it has roots in working class. The subculture's ethos is in equality and multicultural unity. So that's why it was so widely accepted in public. And this was, you know, late 60s to the early 70s. But I got to say, I mean, Facebook might have had this oversight because in the mid-70s, things did change for the worse, especially when Margaret Thatcher led the British Parliament and racial tensions came to a head eventually around that time. And in the riots that manifested, many skinheads were supremacists, you know, they were followers of the National Front and neo-Nazi ideals. So it seems like Facebook did not do so well with the history lesson, and their anti-hate crackdown targeted the wrong people, essentially. Among some of the accounts that were temporarily suspended is former member of Two Tone Ska Band The Specials.
Even him?
Yeah, Neville Staples got suspended. You know, he himself, back and when The Specials started out, he himself was a victim of racial oppression, and that was why he started the band with his bandmates in Coventry. But yeah, he's one of the sort of big names that got suspended, whose account got suspended by Facebook, and many other musicians in the ska and reggae circle were posting up on Instagram instead, saying that, oh, my account got suspended on Facebook and I can't even log in. And, you know, they screen capped the notification sent by Facebook about their participation in skinhead culture pages, and that's why they have been suspended. It's really one of those missteps, I guess, in something that would sounds noble, you know, for Facebook to actually mark out and stamp out hate speech and racism on their platform, but it just did not sort of capture the mentality quite correctly.
Yeah, they thought they were woke, but
yeah, yeah. I mean, that's been the story for tonight, right? A lot of people thinking that they're woke, but kind of not getting the right idea. And let us know what you think. Is it a good place to start anyway, even though we institutions like Grammys and Facebook are making these mistakes of wrongfully, you know, blanketing
missteps
here and there. But it's a start, I guess. And we are obviously very skeptical tonight because at least what's transpired in the last week in the world of music, you know, it's been a lot on the Black Lives Matter, and we feel for black musicians, and we know we listen to a lot of their music.
Yeah.
You know, they've really become one of our biggest influences in anything. So, music world, time to wise up, I guess.
Okay, before we go to a short break, a tune for you this time from New Zealand band Heavy Chest. This one's called Just You. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. The Pulse on BFM 89.9.